are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a Senior Economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Gareth Aird, our Head of Australian Economics. And Gareth, first podcast for 2021. Happy New Year.
Yes, it is the first one. Happy New Year to you too, and also to all our listeners out there.
Now, you and I are actually going to start our first podcast together, talking about probably a topic that is a bit more left field because we really haven't had to take too much time talking about it recently, and that is inflation. Now, we've certainly been in a period of low inflation for the last few years, and certainly that was the case pre-pandemic and then during the COVID-19 outbreak as well. But as you write in your recent note, there's probably more to inflation at the moment than we originally think. Is that the case?
Yeah, look, I think that's right. I mean, fundamentally, it's the nature of our job to be forward-looking. And I think the policy response to the COVID-19 economic shock means that the inflation outlook carries a little bit more uncertainty than what we've been used to over the recent past. I mean, both federal and state governments here in Australia are running huge fiscal deficits that are basically being funded by the central bank. And so much of that money, particularly at the federal level, has been funneled into the household sector in one form or another. So we've ended up with a very large positive shock to household income that, looking at our data, is still continuing. And I think it could have implications for inflation. As you mentioned, we've been used to pretty low and pretty stable inflation, not just here, but globally. But I think we need to keep an open mind on the inflation outlook, simply because of the huge fiscal and monetary stimulus that has been pushed into the economy and is still being pushed into the economy right now.
So before we talk about how that may spill over into higher inflation, I guess we'd be talking more about maybe some demand pull inflation on that scenario. Let's first talk about the case for lower inflation, given that's where we've been and the environment we've been in for so long. What is the case for low inflation at the moment? Is it really because we still have such a big output gap? Is there more to the story than we think?
Yeah, look, I think that's basically it, if you're making the case for low inflation. And I think that's probably the more straightforward case at the moment. And it's really about looking at inflation through the cost of production lens. So, you know, wages growth is very weak at the moment. It had been weak pre-COVID. It took another leg down last year. And I think this year the outlook is going to be for weak wages growth continuing. The unemployment rate is still well above the level that we associate with full employment. It's going to stay elevated, or it'll come down. It'll be above that level, that 4.5% watermark. And that means we won't get much in the way of wages inflation. And that's a key input cost of businesses. The other thing to keep in mind is that the Australian dollar has been appreciating since March of last year, and that keeps a lid on import costs. So when you look at those couple of factors and then you overlay it with the fact that inflation expectations by and large still remain well anchored at the moment, then you can make the case, I think, quite straightforward for low inflation. And that's what most economists who are using models will end up getting to. And that's effectively what the RBA does. And we do the same when we run our inflation models that we've previously used. It has those key inputs around wages or unit labour cost, the Australian dollar and inflation expectation. And we get an outcome of underlying inflation coming in about 1% in 2021, which is very, very similar to what the Reserve Bank has forecast. Having said all that, looking at inflation just through that lens really misses those other points I made before around income.
So I guess that's where we start to talk about demand pull inflation now. The COVID-19 pandemic has been a really fascinating, I guess, example of what can happen when you have a huge increase in demand for certain goods, more so goods and services. So when we start to think about the possibility for demand pull inflation, how are you looking at that and factoring that into what could happen to inflation over not only 2021, but I guess over the next few years?
Yeah, look, it's a good question, and it's really thinking about the fiscal and monetary response to what has happened and what that has done to, and particularly on the fiscal side, what that's done to household income. So we've seen this amazing lift in household disposable income because over the COVID period, because of all the money that the government has been pushing into the household sector. You know, that's come in a variety of forms. But if we look at the Q3 national accounts, we can see that annual growth in household income was running at 8% in the September quarter. And on our calculations, that story looks like it's continued through to Q4. You know, that's significantly stronger than wages growth. So if you're looking just at wages growth, which is running more like 1.5%, you're not picking up that big lift in the purchasing power of households that's come through from the fiscal injection. And the key is that a lot of that money that's been funneled into the household sector hasn't yet been spent. So on our calculations, it looks like the household sector's probably accrued savings in 2020 worth around 6% of GDP. And so as the economy recovers, we'll get more spending taking place, we'll get a drawdown in some of those savings, and that can contribute to what you mentioned before is demand pull inflation. That's basically just where a lift in demand means that businesses respond by lifting the prices of goods and services that they're selling. And we already saw a little bit of that take place in 2020, particularly around furniture, textiles, major household appliances, small electrical appliances. And there were some quite sharp price rises. And I think that gave us a little bit of a taste of what could be more widespread through 2021.
Yeah, certainly when we look at our CBA card spend data, we certainly have seen over the course of most of 2020 the purchases of household furnishings and equipment be the strongest performer. So I guess it's not really surprising that we have seen some price lifts come through that segment. So when you kind of put together the potential for cost-push inflation, which is low, but demand-pull inflation, just given the income side story, where does that leave our forecast for inflation over the next year or so?
Yeah, so this is where we're getting to the crystal ball side of things. But on the demand-pull side, what we've done is have a look at sort of the CPI basket from a bottom-up perspective to identify those goods and services within the basket itself, where you could see some of that demand pull inflation come through. And so I think the components there we're talking about are around food, alcohol, the new dwelling purchase component of housing, given we're seeing a huge lift in housing-related construction at the moment on the back of home builder, and then recreation and culture. And those goods and services collectively account for around 40% of the CPI basket, which is pretty significant. So if we make some assumptions around price movements there, we think that we could see demand pull inflation at about 0.7 percentage points to modelled inflation. So therefore, we end up with a forecast for core inflation or the trim mean coming at about 1.7% come the end of 2021. On the headline rate, CPI there is going to be a bit volatile, particularly because of some base effects, but that'll average probably around 2% on our numbers through the second half of the year. So it's still overall low, but it is higher than the Reserve Bank's forecast. And I do think we need to be kind of open-minded about the risk that inflation could surprise, even to the upside on the numbers that we've got in there as our forecast profile.
Which really, you know, brings me to the next question about 2021 is going to be a really important year for the Reserve Bank. I mean, they have a number of different policies underway at the moment in terms of its official cash rate target, its three-year bond yield target, but also its $100 billion quantitative easing program, which is due to expire in April. Does this, I guess, new thinking on inflation, does it impact what you think the RBA is going to do? And mind you, we have not heard from the RBA since December and we're still a couple of weeks off hearing from them again. How do you think the RBA is going to play out this year?
Yeah, look, I think that the sort of issues I've raised, you know, in this chat on inflation won't feed into the Reserve Bank's decision-making in the first half of this year. Yeah, the Reserve Bank at the moment is very much focused on the fact that the unemployment rate is well above the level we think of as being associated with full employment. And they want to see job creation take place. So I think when we're thinking about what the central bank is likely to do in the first half of this year, we kind of park the inflation issue to one side and just know that they'll be wanting to provide as much monetary stimulus as they can to assist that economic recovery and a job creation. And so, therefore, we think that when they get to April, when the current $100 billion of bond buying is due to expire, they'll go again and announce another $100 billion of bond buying. That has the dual sort of effect, if you like, of ensuring the Australian dollar doesn't appreciate unnecessarily so, because a lot of the other central banks, the major central banks, will still be undertaking very large QE programs. It also, I think, greenlights the government, both Commonwealth and state governments, to continue with very expansionary fiscal policy. And I think that's all going to help the economy. I think where the inflation debate probably gets a little bit more interesting in terms of thinking about central bank policy and what that might mean for financial markets, I think if we start to see some upside surprises come into the inflation data, particularly around the middle of the year to the second half of the year, and the unemployment rate is coming down at a decent rate, then I think you might see financial markets start to get a little bit edgy when thinking about where things might go from here, because financial markets and where bond yields are at the moment is still very much sort of pricing in that the low inflation environment that we've been in for a long time now is here to stay. And I think if we do get some upside surprises, because the recovery is occurring quicker than people think and consumers are out there spending and businesses are therefore able to lift their prices of goods and services, I think it could make for a pretty interesting second half of the year.
It will indeed. It's going to be an interesting year anyway as we navigate the economic recovery post, and I guess with COVID-19 still going on. But just in the meantime, we do get the Q4 CPI release in 1 week's time on Wednesday, the 27th of January. We are expecting headline CPI to lift by 0.9%, which will take the annual rate to 0.7%. And the trim mean, the RBA's preferred measure of underlying inflation, we expect that to rise by 0.4% and the annual rate to be 1.2%. Gareth, appreciate your thoughts. It's certainly going to be an interesting topic to watch over 2021.
Absolutely. It was nice to have a chat.
Now, you can read Gareth Aird's report on the case for and against higher consumer inflation in 2021, which was published on the 18th of January 2021, on combankresearch.com.au.